Welcome. I welcome you to Ran Out of Talent Podcast. We can't thank you enough for checking in, taking it in, listening to the stats. Joey Fitzsimmons is the co-host. And you got Joe Jr. running the show. Me, I'm a man just trying to just rip up the freestyles just for you. Tuning in to Ran Out of Talent. But if you ever run out of talent, don't take no time, don't take anything, just get a hold of Junior.
All right. We are back after last time we had a lot of terrible technical difficulties. Well, like I was saying before on here, that for some reason StreamYard keeps kicking my Rodecaster off of the system. It held on today, but I had to manually go in and select it for the MMA podcast, so I'm hoping it holds on today as well. So, yeah. How's everyone doing today?
Not too bad. Just got back from running some Nitro.
How'd that go?
It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a ton of fun.
I miss it. I miss these big black round things that have white things in the middle of them.
Yeah. Right. Zach went racing last week too. Uh-huh. And I've been doing a lot of race directing. You know, we'll get all into all that in a minute. But one thing I botched this last time. Now with sound, I do want to play that Dakota Slideways video for their upcoming Midwest Nationals. So Joey pulled it up. So hit her and go full screen, Joey. That's as full screen as she gets.
Well, at least we can hear it this time.
Yeah.
Where'd it go?
It's because he quick. Oh, man. There it goes. Click into full screen and leave it, Joey. This track is a lot of fun. If you guys have never been to this track, you're missing out big time.
I've been here. I had a lot of fun when I was there.
I mean, Zach lives 18 hours away, so, you know.
That's just a quick day, you know, day trip.
Yeah.
You know, it looks a lot like the track from Indiana called State Line. They closed.
Yeah.
No, I was here 2 years ago when they had the big step down going on to the straightaway.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, go check out the Midwest National July 13th, 14th. Go to Dakota Slideways RC Club on Facebook. And that's the thing. They're a club and not a business. And they're actually doing it right. Like, they get hotel deals from the racers. For the racers. They get this, they get that. They're using the full ability of being a nonprofit club, and I love to see it. So, Cam checking in. Thanks for RDing Friday night. Lance saying, hey, guys. Yeah, we'll get into that. So, first, Zach, you went racing last week. You went and you crushed in mod touring car.
I got pretty lucky. I had just a banger of a weekend.
We all know racing is mostly luck, especially when with us non-pro guys.
I think it was more like I just was on, and everybody was just had an average day.
Nice. That happens. It's good though.
I wanted it more. There, I did the I did the work, and I just tried to drive well, and unfortunately, I missed being the king of the road by 1%. But I'm going to blame that on my fellow racer Tim for not pushing me in the main.
Oh, okay. So, king of the road now the king of the road prize, because you went in. what is the King of the Road? Because I thought you won modified touring car.
Right. So King of the Road is a different format than how most races are ranked. So okay. You have everything's based off points, kind of like the Reedy race, I think.
Yep.
So you have a seeding round that's worth points. You have your qualifiers, two qualifiers that are worth points, and then you have a main that is also worth points.
Okay.
And then if so, in this scenario, we actually had tied with the least amount of points possible. Yeah. So we all top seeded, we all won our qualifiers, and then we won the main.
Okay.
And the qualifiers, you get, it's kind of a staggered qualifier. So like, let's say there's nine guys, and we're going to put three people in each heat, which is small, but just for this example. Yep. So you have number one goes in number one heat, number two goes in number two heat, number three goes in number three heat.
Oval racing.
So on. Yeah, and then your starting position is randomized in that heat as well.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool because you get to drive with like the same people, but also everyone has like the same group of talent to drive with.
Yep.
And so for that event, there were four people that won all that and then top seeded. And so the tiebreaker goes into the percentage consistency on your main event. Mine was 97.00.
Holy crap.
And the gentleman who won, you may know him, not sure. He's from Wisconsin. His name's Brian Ellert. I think he had like 98.3 or something.
Holy crap. Do you get a lot of fade with the mod touring car?
1/10, 2/10. Okay. But we were running on a, I would say, small, medium-sized track. On yep. bigger tracks, you can get more fade.
Okay.
As the battery voltage drops. I was getting, I think I did a 7, or no, I did an 8.7, and then, like, my average, we'll say, it was, like, 9.0.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah. But my battery voltage when I came off was 3.78 volts per cell.
That's still pretty good. Because when I get off, let's say, a stock buggy run, I know it's not the same thing. But I'm at like 3.53, 3.55 a cell.
I'm running a lot bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good, though. You got some mod touring car running in. I mean, mm-hmm. that's...
Must be cool to run mod.
Yeah.
It, dude, it's the most fun. If you... So, people don't like to take the year to learn it, but it takes a year of learning mod to be, like, competent in it, unless you're,
yes.
like, really good. I wasn't really good. I went into the A main running stock after trying for, like, 10 years to do that now. You know, I wouldn't... I think the best I did was like 6th in stock.
Okay.
Maybe 5th once. Like I wasn't really fighting for the pole, and I'm not fighting for the pole in mod either. But just to give you an idea of the talent, like, and then to go into mod, it took me a full year of running every other week and practicing to really get a grasp of running mod. And then it wasn't until this third, I guess this is my 4th year, that I really feel like I learned enough to put it together because I haven't been racing all that much.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That, well, that's true. Your life has changed enough to where you can't, well, I mean, you could race at the Hoosier Hobbyplex every week, but that's, mm-hmm. we've talked about that before. That's not your number one jam.
Right.
So.
And it doesn't transfer to any on-road discipline.
Yeah, Lance Parker checking in. I ran his mod buggy for a couple laps on Friday on a super small track, and it was actually fun. Austin checking in, Andrew Clark checking in, Pat Boyd checking in, lots of guys checking in. We got a few watching. How was your night, Joey? You went and ran oval.
I did go run oval, and yeah. it was a lot of fun. I ended up taking the Midwest mod win. This thing... stayed home
okay
because I didn't have it together completely yet,
So whose Midwest mod did you run?
My own.
Oh, you said that stayed home. Oh, were you pointing to the sprint car next to it?
Yeah. That's my Midwest mod sprint car. It's kind of back here.
Yeah.
You can see the big wing right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The beginning of the day, I didn't show up there until about 1 because I went and worked in the morning for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then after that, headed out to the hobby farm, stopped and got some Hardee's and an iced tea and said, here we go. Yep. Showed up, threw down, and the car wasn't that bad. It needed more.
Right.
I ended up limiting the shocks, the rear shocks, 4 mil.
Really? External or internal?
Internal.
Oh, that's a ton. So you're almost, you'd almost be better off having buggy front shock shafts in there, it sounds like.
Buggy front shock shafts and pretty much running the eyelet all the way up.
Okay. A zero eyelet, I assume.
Mm-hmm. That's what I should have done for the main, but I didn't have any time because I was announcing.
Yeah.
The first qualifier, I didn't do too hot. I think I BQ'd.
Yeah.
And then second qualifier, where did I finish? I think I was BQ'd. No. B2. I qualified second in the B main for that one.
Okay.
Ended up winning the B, transferring the A, and there was a big pile up within the first 5 laps coming out of 2, and I kind of shimmy-shaked myself around it and took the lead after that. And then Noah Maddox gave me a good run for my money.
Noah's got – is he still running a rear motor car?
Mm-hmm.
There's something to it.
I told him he should shake that thing over my car and give me a little bit of his speed.
Yeah. 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 Lee Thorson checking in, Lance Parker, saying he says he's completely changing his two-wheel mod setup for this Saturday to mess with. Austin Smith checking in. He was racing on Friday. Troy Fisher, he came down for the Icebreaker Grand Prix. Benjamin James says Super Bowl of A-Scale Racing. Oh, Benjamin, we're going to give our DNC Nitro Buggy predictions. I'm excited for it. I truly am. I don't know about you guys. I know you're not, you know, the biggest A-Scale off-road fan, Zach, but I always watch a little bit of qualifying and definitely the pro A mains. Unless it was what they had to deal with last year. They did what they had to do, but man, that was a tough DNC where they put it on that small indoor arena and they were down to the cement at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why they moved the race 2 months. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if they have the entries listed for DNC.
They started it. It's not all the way. I've been watching it over the weekend, and I've been watching Pro Nitro Buggy grow.
Trying to find the entries here, but that's okay. I already know who I'm going to pick. I was just curious. But I went to P&B last year.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. I had never been to a race, a big 8-scale race like that before.
They can be overwhelming.
I didn't race. What's that?
They can be overwhelming.
Yeah, like as I get older, my depth perception, the way I can perceive things far away, is getting kind of worse. So Adam Smith, a local Hoosier resident I went down with, he let me run his I think it was e-buggy for a battery pack for a practice session, and man, those back corners, like the last two lanes on either side, were like real hard to see, and then they had part of the concrete actually exposed as the track.
Oh,
so it was like a slick section,
so it was supposed to be like that.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Okay.
Because we did a couple track walks with a couple of the other local Hoosiers. And it was, I mean, impressive. And then they had that big, like, ski jump in the left corner.
Yep.
That they did the jump competition off of. You barely had to hit that thing at all. And the first time I went out there, I missed it because I was just going around. And so I just kind of putzed around and got back on the track. And the second time I lined it up right and I sent it.
Yeah.
And like jumped 60 feet or something. I don't know how far it was, but from pretty much off the track into the bleachers.
Way too far. I heard so many stories of people doing that at PNB last year, their first couple laps. Matt Hintzman's wondering, are there any good tracks in Ohio? All I know is the Nitro On-Road one in Toledo.
For which discipline?
Well, Hintzman's an off-road racer. I don't know about off-road in Ohio.
Well, they have a carpet off-road track, I think, EN Hobbies.
Okay. Cam says, look up the RC Zone. So, anyway, last week I race directed the Dollar Hobby Icebreaker Grand Prix. We ended up with 60 entries. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I was literally, I ain't say it on here, but I'm like, this is going to be like 30, 40 entries. But, yeah, we had just a good group of guys, like 25.5 touring car. Swifty beat Choban for a really good race. It was really close. 21.5 touring car, Dan Hammond beat Swifty, but not by a lot. We only had a couple out-of-town guys. Troy Fisher, who's in the chat, what came down with his kid. His kid's getting fast. He just needs to build that consistency. Kyle Fisher, he ended up second in 12 scale. 12 scale, I don't know if I should have done what I did, but, you know, I normally run like 8 and a main at most. 12 scale, I put all 9 of them in one main. So it's like, yeah, the track was a little busy.
What size track?
What do you think Dollar Hobbies is, Joey? Like 70 by 40? It's not, it's four rolls deep, but only like 70 feet long, 72, something like that.
Yeah, that
okay. So that's about the size of the other track I raced at, and you can do like 8 if they're like speed.
Yeah, there was a 12 lap discrepancy in 12 scale.
I mean, that sounds like those guys that didn't qualify as well probably didn't enjoy
it. Well, I was running 8 people in. I was running 8 people in the main. I was taking 6 to the main, bumping 2. And I'm like, there's 9. I'm like, I don't want to run a B main for 2 bumps. 3 cars, 2 bumps. I maybe should have.
I mean, I would have split it 5 and 4 and done 1.
Oh, that's the way we were qualifying, was 5 and 4. We're keeping the qualifiers small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, it was...
I have mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, it's... We had, it was a lot of fun, but, you know, it's one of those times you make a decision as a race director. Sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong, and I believe I was wrong on that one. Rick's saying he's got 70 by 30. We can run 6 comfortably. 7 is really tough, and 8 would be impossible. Yeah, you're running one less roll width-wise, though, Rick. That makes a big difference. Yeah, it was a blast, so for on-road. I went and announced, and then I came back Friday to Dollar and announced, and they put up jumps on the off-road layout, or on-road layout, excuse me. And usually, you know, it's okay, but it doesn't work out the best.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the carpet went to hell. Period. We've talked about it ad nauseum in here. Friday night I get there, and it's none of the racers' fault, but I get there and the track was absolutely filthy. I'm like, to the employees of Dollar, I'm like, did any of you guys vacuum this? I mean, the track really should be vacuumed.
Well, the edges and the corners of the groove.
Well, dude, off-road, you know, I do.
Do the off-road guys use SXT?
Yes. The SXT is the only compound allowed on the track.
And do they use a pin tire or a
pin slick? Tire. Well, so we started transitioning into slicks. We'll talk about that in a second. So I vacuum, and it's so grooved up from the on-road race, like in the sweeper and crap, that the vacuum was getting stuck when I was rolling it. It was that sticky. And I was vacuuming pissed, and people were trying to put down laps when I was vacuuming. It just wasn't a good night. The racing went well. The racing went as well as it could be, because everybody races for 2 minutes and survives for four, because the tires clog up and your car either loses all of your steering or all of your rear grip, or it loses both. So we tried a slick tire in a couple classes. I'll tell you where it worked well. Slick tire worked really well in 21.5 buggy. Bub won that one, actually, by quite a margin. Bub is Bruce Collins. I don't know. He's a local. He used to be mostly on-road, but he's just an older guy having fun now. And he came up with a different tire combination. He was running a sweep rear, I believe, open cell. And I believe it was an open cell in the front, but a J-Concept silver smoothie in the front. His car looked the best. But Austin Smith, who took second, and Scott Albrecht, who took third, their cars looked really nice. I'll tell you what didn't look nice is Cam saying swaggers and twin pins are the ticket to no fuzz. You know, he might be right. You could say maybe just a swagger front, less aggressive pin rear tire. That could be some. Because J Concepts is the brand I'm sponsored by, but we could make that a harsh call and be like, no fuzz bites allowed, no pin swags allowed, only swaggers and twin pins if you're a J-Con person. You know what I mean?
You guys go to a spec tire and call it a day, since you don't get a lot of out-towners.
I don't.
But yeah, we did this.
I was going to say, I don't disagree with you with the spec tire thing, but something needs to be done or they're just going to cut racing, period. Because the RC track and the physical hobby shop is only 10% of the business for dollar hobbies.
Yeah, it's a lot of bashing and racing.
No, well, yeah, that's the. But I'm saying there, the physical hobby shop, even with all the bashing stuff, and even when we have a super packed night of racing, that's only 10% of their business. It's mostly their Amazon store.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do about that. But we, so at the track I used to be at, the one I raced at, they traditionally have done on-road and off-road the same night and do the same thing. They put off-road guys set up jumps. They can choose to do a layout. Normally they change the layout like once a month.
Yeah.
But the off-road guys have to go there and set it up and then mark it. And like, you got to put in the work, do the layout, but you could do the layout.
Yeah.
But traditionally it's the on-road guys that do the layout. And so, the off-road guys would show up on like the first Friday night, like an hour early.
Yep.
Get an idea for what they want to do, mess around with the jumps a little bit. And that was okay. We ran slick tires from the get-go because we thought any other thing would tear up the carpet. So I raced all of my off-road career on carpet, either on foam tires, like Rick said, not the Gone Bananas ones, because they weren't a brand yet. My dad actually made them
for
the track. So it was like a spec tire type thing.
Yep.
Then we switched to slicks once rubber tires became kind of more prevalent indoor. Actually, I settled on the Panther slick.
Okay.
It ended up being the cheapest one, but also, like, I just tried it and it worked good. So
yeah.
And it lasted a long time.
So Austin's saying, what's happening with the 21.5 class since it's a new class for points? I don't know. Jeff's been talking about doing a three-race series. Cam's saying that the Swaggers and Twin Pins have always worked, Cam. They were just never fast, and that was a problem. Foams wouldn't be a bad option. I'll tell you what did not work well on slicks, and it was what did not work well on slicks was stadium truck and four wheel. That was, I mean, they were getting it at the end, but man, they were really touchy.
Yeah, you got to take out a lot of the steering input and settings like that. But it's not that it can't work. It's that people don't want to make it work.
Well,
and they just keep doing what they want to do. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of tracks that run slick tires. You could take a clay, like if we take like a setup from Hoosier, a high bite setup, you could probably run it there with some more adjustment, but that would probably be a good starting point if you didn't have anything else.
Right. So Kelly's saying foams would be nice. Lance was saying, yeah, truck was kind of hard. And Cam was saying, yeah, I wasn't fast Friday, but I enjoyed being consistent. The thing about it is what happened with the slicks, it's like it was good for like 90% of the corner, and then all of a sudden it would just snap on you.
Mm-hmm.
So
did they put the sidewall insert in?
I don't know if they did.
Or that and the just gluing the sidewall like you would do in on road would probably take away all of their problems.
Okay, but yeah. Let's talk about some results, though. But expert two-wheel stock buggy, Kyle Holmberg won that one. Evan Tapp took the number two, looking really good with that X-ray. And Caden Voss took the three. And an expert 13.5 four-wheel, Holmberg won that one with Evan Tapp in the number two again and Chris Mickelson in the number three. It was so once I was done being pissed off, it was a good night of racing. So during why is Minnesota Kelly's wondering why is Minnesota so against foam tires. I'm against only having one manufacturer, not just one manufacturer, one guy, and he posts weird health problems on his business page. That's what I don't like. I don't know. Maybe it's just me being like, hey, you know, supply chain issues. Keith saying it's a first time out and he thinks more time testing and developing on the slicks would help a lot. And that is for sure too. But after I was done, I was a little bit pissed off when I was giving the race directors, when I was doing the race announcements and all that junk, the drivers meeting. And I made an announcement when I shouldn't have, but the decision is the same, that I will not be race directing at Dollar Hobbies next season. Well, at least for the Friday night off-road gig. I still might do the two on-road gigs. I accepted the job before I was in the current position I am now at work. And the amount of money a race director makes, I'm going to be open here. I make $3 a car. Okay, on a single day event. On a weekend event, I make $6 a car. We had 46 entries on Saturday. My entire Friday night was gone for $138. And that is just not enough for me.
When you spend, how many hours did you spend there? Six, seven?
I got there at like 5 and we were done racing at 10:15, so five and a half hours, because I did the points after that as well. So it was, you know, and it's, I'm in a different situation in life.
But yeah,
I announced it when I was pissed off, which made it correlate like, oh, he's doing this because he's mad. Well, I made the decision earlier that week. You know, Rick saying, Oh, it gets to be the same thing on the SJT, for instance, for GT12 tires can be hard to get when you need them. And if you have issues, they happen in batches. It's though to only have one person making them. Right, Rick. But the thing is, Rick, Scott Jakes is a very competent human being.
It depends on who you ask. I like Scott, but he's got some haters.
Yeah, he does. But he's competent, and he knows how to fix things. And that's where I'm going to... And he can produce like crazy if he needs to.
No, yeah. He's done a lot to get there. It's yeah. taken him some time, which right. I can't blame him.
Team manager Richard checking in. How's it going, Richard? So, yeah. You know what, though? Before we get into anything else, I haven't announced it the past couple of podcasts because it slipped my mind with technical difficulties and everything else.
Comes with age.
Yeah, I'm old. I'm very old. Go to pwrmerch.com. Go check out Corey Hinz made a little bit of a t-shirt shop for Ran Out of Talent for us, so you can get your Ran Out of Talent classic t-shirt, the If You Ain't Got Balls, You Ain't Going Fast t-shirt, and you can get a Ran Out of Talent mug. Go check it out at pwrmerch.com. Zonda 4523 check it in from YouTube. He goes, half the entries is going to end racing at dollar. It's hard for intermediate drivers to dial in slicks, and I hope they can get drivers back. And he says, appreciate all the work you do, Joe. Keep up the good work. You will be missed after this season. Like I said, the 21.5 buggy on slicks seems like a very good option for intermediate drivers. And I've said it a million times on here. You should not get a wheeler until you're competent with a two-wheel drive car. Learn how to drive with one car first. Rick is saying that's a trick if he needs to. I had to have PayPal reverse orders from him a couple of times. I also heard there were some tires delaminating at the Snowbirds this year. You know, I haven't heard about that, but what I did hear about, and Zach, you don't have to say the names, but who do you know who was fist fighting at the Roaring Nats today?
I don't know who was fist fighting. I know there was some kerfuffles. Yeah. I'll address the so not to defend Scott or anything, but just to give you an update, he has fixed the delamination issue as well as the production issue, I think.
Yeah.
I can't speak on behalf of that at the moment, but I talked to him semi regularly and he's I think he's got that fixed. Okay. I don't know what happened at the Roaring Nats as baby stuff. But I would like to know. Are you sure there was a fist fight?
Well, that's the way the post made it sound, that there was a physical altercation.
Hold on, I'll message somebody.
Because they wouldn't make a post if people were yelling. You know, Clayton Young is a former military man, and he knows yelling and arguing and all that crap happens. So, and again, I've said this several times on this podcast. You're RC racers. You're not fighters. You have no idea how tired you're going to be after you swing twice and those punches just hit nothing but air. You're going to gas out so hard and do nothing but embarrass yourself. It's an amount of cardio and muscle strength and twitch and accuracy that you don't understand. So take your little self out of the situation and take a deep breath. I understand arguing with people. I do. And, you know, we've all been taken out to the point of where, you know, race incidents happen. Like, there's, you know, there's wheel to wheel, you get shot off the track, or somebody touches your rear corner slightly and you spin 90 degrees. But then you have people that take you out like they want a fist fight. And it's intentional. And it's up to you to somewhat keep your cool. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you have two sides of that. So you have people that actually can fight now. I don't know how many are at the RC track, but if
you Zach, me and you.
Well, I'm not fighting people.
I'm not either. I know how to fight it. I'm not fighting people.
But yeah, exactly, because we understand the consequences of our actions.
Yeah.
Where's the bell?
But
ding,
yeah,
ding, so, ding, ding. I should just carry around a cowbell.
You should.
Okay, next time I'll carry a cowbell.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not in high school anymore. Like, if you fall and bounce your head off the concrete,
that's so
a lot of bad things could happen.
That's what scares me the most.
You hit your head on the 2x4, or like you step wrong and now you're falling off the driver's stand. Like, so many things.
Yeah. I stubbed my, you know, the bleachers at the hobby farm, right?
Yeah, I know. So
you know that little step that's on the ground.
Yep.
Right next to the wall.
Yes.
I was walking on that step and I stubbed my first three toes, including my big toe, on the little bar that sticks out of there.
Ugh.
It hurt.
Yeah. But anyway, you know what? I'm sitting here thinking about Minnesota guys that can fight. So there's a new guy at Dollar Hobbies. His name is Bill Lundblad. He was an All-American wrestler in high school. And Joe Scaramel, he's a Nitro racer in Minnesota. And you wouldn't know it by looking at him. Successful business owner, short guy. He was a college wrestler. He wrestled after college, and he was an ASICS athlete. He got paychecks from ASICS. So we got a couple of guys that might know what they're doing. Anyways,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Joel Hyatt says he has to agree with both statements from Zonda. He's waiting to see what happens at Dollar before I make a commitment to some sort of tire. I'm already having enough to figure out already. And Richard, yes, it's a toy car. I can't say it's a toy. It's a race car. It's expensive. He is right about that.
A racing model or a race car.
It's a toy, but yet it's a race car. You know,
it's not a toy. No, a toy race car is something you buy from Walmart.
Yeah.
We're in a sport, but it's a hobby for a lot of people. Just like you can go play football in the park.
Right.
Right? You can have a competitive game. That's what club racing would be.
Yes.
If you will. And then the NFL would be like our, pick your race, dancing.
Yeah.
It's a sport. I'm going to argue it's a sport. Toys are what you buy from, like, a toy shop. You don't go to a hobby shop and buy a toy. It's what, I mean, people may consider it a toy, but it's not really.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what. It's, I just lost my train of thought. Anyways, let's look at the Roar Nats before we get into your new battery wizard. Because.
Sure. You should look at Sam Isaac's consistency.
I was going to say, Sam Isaac's won. I had Kevin's. My prediction was Kevin Herbert was going to sweep the whole damn thing. But here comes Sam Isaac's TQ and wins. He got two firsts. Can't get any better than two firsts. Kevin takes second. Chris Adams, I don't know who that is, took third. Yeah, I thought Kevin, Kevin was like my number one hope for an American driver winning the Worlds.
I think you have a number of American drivers that are competent of winning Worlds. I don't know how much asphalt racing Kevin has done. I would probably say, I know Sam has done a bunch of asphalt racing, and right. I would put him above Kevin just for that. Not that, I mean, obviously Kevin's a very competent racer. It came down to, less than a second, I think, between right. their runs. That's one tap or a couple of bad corners, really.
Yeah.
But Kevin won the 23 Nationals over Sam when they had the new R. That's when they just won automatics. So Kevin runs for X-Ray.
Yep.
And they had 23. I don't think they even had a... Well, they didn't officially have a... He ran a 23.
Yeah.
And Sam ran a, I think, production or maybe pre-production 800R. And Sam wasn't as competitive as he'd been in the past, and I still think the 800R is still probably not as competitive as they would like it to be, especially now with the new 24 X-Ray.
Yeah.
Just specifically talking about those two brands.
Yeah.
It seems like either Sam went over to Japan and got and bought all of the talent they have at their hobby shop, or they have done something with the car that Kemp did not do to his car.
Oh.
Because Kemp is a very competent mod touring racer. He was fighting for a podium at the last Roar Nationals. He went to the Worlds and did 12-scale Worlds and did really well. But he is, I think he's finishing up his last semester of college as well. He's in engineering.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of workload that was last little bit. So maybe that had something to do with the two. I don't know. I haven't talked to him recently.
Okay.
But yeah, Chris Adams is another super fast. I'm honestly surprised he's been that fast just because he's had his priorities taken away from racing and more towards the new track he launched.
Maybe in Texas. Maybe taking your mind off things can help you out a little bit sometimes and let your talent shine through more than maybe it lets you stay out of your head a little bit more, because all those guys in the A main, they all know how to be fast, but who has the consistency, who can stay out of their own head, who's not going to tap out under pressure? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think realistically there were four people that could have won it. If I was there, nothing against, so Drew, I think, finished fifth.
Yeah.
Nothing against Drew, but since his surgery, he hasn't been as fast. And he's also getting older. These guys are still quite a bit younger than him.
Right.
He was the best of the rest. Drew's way faster than me. So,
yeah.
Not to say anything mean, but, and then the other five guys, or four, are like my speed, like really fast and competent on the track, but like two or three laps down, and you can't win a race that far down.
No. Chris is saying race cars are not toys. His race cars have never touched the ground outside. That's true. Richard saying, come on, Zach, it's still just a hobby.
It's what you want to do in it.
Yeah, it's a hobby that we love and we're passionate about, and we put... I know us three, when we're at the track, we're putting everything in. So, I mean, I'm doing everything I can when I'm at the track. I'm not just putting a battery in my car, putting my car down for a qualifier and hoping for the best.
I was kind of like today, me and KP were out there running our trucks. He's got a brand new Mugen
truck. Yeah, he came by at the Icebreaker Grand Prix and bought it at Dollar Hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, go ahead.
We were running out there today, and I just couldn't get my truck to run the way I wanted it to.
Because so you need a four.
The shocks. Huh?
We'll talk tomorrow, but you need a four.
I know. So I took it back and I took all the shocks off and I dumped all the shock oil out. And he comes back and looks at me. He goes, "You're serious? You came all the way out here to rebuild your shocks?" I'm like, "No, I'm just changing the shock oil."
Yeah. Takes 25 minutes.
Not even that.
Yeah. I'm slow.
If you got a shock pump, it'll take a little bit less.
Yeah.
You sit there.
Yep. You know,
mine's busted. Mine doesn't seal.
Yeah, I want to get one of those automatic ones. Doesn't Huddy make one?
Mm-hmm. I think they have them for off-road.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. Jeff Choban saying he can't watch tonight. I'll catch it tomorrow. Just want to say thanks for race directing the Icebreaker, and thanks for all the dollar off-road racers who tried new classes Friday. He goes, "I know it's going to be a hard change, but I think as more people try it, the better it'll work out, at least until we can get newer, better carpet on the table." You know, one thing I forgot to say is Dollar already has bare spots down to the wood on the new carpet. That's where the shape comes in. But anyways, I went off on somebody's posting, what's his face? Fred Knapp goes, "I'm going to tell Frank Calandra." And I said, "I do not care." I said, "Go tell Frank."
I wish Frank would watch this.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't care.
I'm not saying anything here that I wouldn't say to Frank himself.
Yeah, he does not care, and it's apparent by emails I've read. He does not care. Rick's saying they are super nice and great for diffs too. I'm thinking he's talking about the electric pump. Mary Jo, that is why can't I think of who it is? Chaz, that's Chaz. He goes, "Chris, it's a toy," and Chris Barnes just goes, "Quit, Chaz." That's funny stuff. There's some new stuff coming out, so let's talk about your new battery wizard, Zach.
So, it's not actually mine. I am distributing the product. But I work with the company WMH.
Yep.
And it stands for Where the Magic Happens.
Okay.
And so it's kind of cool. He likes doing like a play on magical things like wizards, warlocks, and stuff like that. I'm helping with some feedback, but the battery wizard. So it's a, I'll just pull this up real quick. So
if you put share screen or if it's possible, I can pull it up.
I don't want to share the back end of my website.
Okay, you're fine.
It's okay. So the battery wizard is a performance measuring device for your 1S and 2S batteries.
Yes.
It's ideal for comparing, knowing when to retire, and knowing what kind of performance your battery really has.
Yes.
You don't have to go see the wizard behind the curtain anymore for good packs.
Right.
You have the ability to test your own batteries. It affords you the knowledge on how much power you could be able to have, for how long, and how much you will fade. In short, the battery wizard will do for you what the Motolizer did for motor tuning.
Nice. You know, and that's one thing that we've all had it happen to where we'll be charging, we'll look at our IRs on an iCharger, and let's say it'll say between 0.9 and 1.1, and it's like, "But God, this battery's a little flat." And then you get a new one, and the internals might actually be a tick higher, but it has so much more punch. Brad Sandvig, I wish he would have finished the unit before he was kind of forced out of racing. You know, Brad's going through some life changes right now. But a lot of people don't know that if you sit and you lightly shake your battery when you're charging it, that actually does stuff. He explained it to me and it made sense at the time. And he made this little this little turntable deal that just went a little bit. It just went like 30 degrees one way and 30 degrees the other, and it just kept your battery moving to keep the liquid inside moving. I forget what he said it did. I wish I could remember because it sounds silly as shit. But it made sense at the time when he was talking about it.
I don't know.
Brad's an electrical genius. Have you ever got...
He used to run for me.
What was that?
He used to run for me.
Yeah, I know. I remember. And then, you know, he used to fix eye chargers like nothing, which... From what I've been finding out, they're fairly simple, but still, he used to fix them. But then, he used to align his own sensor boards, and they were better than the quote-unquote factory-aligned sensor boards. It was nuts. Yeah. So, yeah, I really hope he comes back to racing when he can, because it was better with him. So, yeah, I can't wait till that drops on. Do you have a price point yet, or is that TBA?
So, we do have a price point, and the pre-orders will start tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's going to be, like, some kind of limited quantity, depending on, like, how it goes and when they go. We haven't officially decided exactly how we're going to do it. We've discussed some ideas, but it's going to depend entirely on the amount that's needed. Because ultimately the gentleman who runs WMH is building them all.
Yep.
And it takes him about 3 to 4 hours to build and calibrate each unit.
Oh, wow.
On top of the $100 and some of parts that he has in the units.
Okay.
So if we get to like 20 pre-orders, we're probably going to close them for a little bit or okay. push the date out based off of that, because he works part time during that. He's got a real job.
Yeah.
And so they're gonna be $350. Is gonna be the cost.
Okay, right on. You know this most, Zach. It's so hard to make a dollar in RC. You think you have this great idea. He does have a great idea, but you think this great idea is going to make you all this money, and it's just unfortunately not. But it'll make him decent money.
It'll pay less than he makes at his day job per hour.
Exactly.
He leaves a little room for distributors in there.
Yep.
And it's really, I mean, when you got like $150 worth of parts, let's say, you know, he sells them retail and cuts out the distributors like me, it's $200. That's $50 an hour. That's good money.
Yeah.
But if you got to have room for distributors, they want, you know, some money for that. Like when you go buy a kit, right. It's like 20%.
Yeah.
So it's like $50 or something.
Yeah.
So then it leaves $150 for 4 hours worth of work, and that's, you know, like $30 an hour.
Yeah. All right. We got a couple more things to talk about tonight. Sorry to cut you off here.
No.
Austin and Chris are just saying they really like the 21.5 slick tire car. R1 came out with the 3-gear transmission for B7, and everybody got mad. That's what I took away from it. Everybody got mad, and it's like, why? I said, I'm a journeyman hack, and I said that this car needs a 3-gear transmission. But then when they actually come out with one, everybody gets so mad. I don't
care. Does it?
Yeah, it does. 5 gears for stock racing, it's too much power being...
Show me the data.
Somebody did something.
The power loss for that may not be enough to be, I mean, I'm sure it's something, I'm sure it's not zero, but I think you have to take into consideration the weight placement as well.
Yep.
And you had, I think it was Mike, I don't know, I'm not going to butcher your name, but from RC1, You know, his kid with like some of the first packs out there matched the speeds of like I think Kyle Go and
okay.
I don't remember. With the B7, just a regular B7. I don't know. I'm not for or against either one. I'm just saying, like, there's more to it than just 3 versus 5 year. I think there could be some kind of better solution. I don't know what that is, though.
Well, I can say that the only thing I like better than my B6.4 to my B7 was the punch out of the hole the B6.4 had. That's the only thing I like more at this point. And again, we're just getting the chassis set up at this point still. You know, we're not all the way there yet with the car. I'm sure there'll be some kind of different gearing that we haven't thought of. Maybe we're gearing way too high. Maybe we got to start gearing way down to get that punch. I don't know. But it just does not feel the same. I mean, out of the whole, like acceleration-wise, it doesn't feel the same. I should be more specific on that.
If you carry more corner speed, you don't need as much acceleration.
But I suck, Zach.
That's like kind of like the same concept with big cars in the class that we race. You need corner speed to carry momentum down the front or down the straightaway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about momentum.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Chaz was ripping with it. Yeah, no, the car's good. Don't get me wrong. That's my one complaint about the car myself. And R1 has possibly, I haven't driven it yet. I don't know for sure. But R1 has possibly maybe come out with a solution. And it created all types of rage in the RC world. It's like, just shut up.
That's silly. I don't think there should be rage. I mean, like, cool, you came out to 3-grid transmission for this? Like, let's try it. Let's see what's up. I'm sure they've... I got to believe Steve at R1 has dropped it into one of his team driver's hands. And, yeah. Like, cool, try this and see what you think.
I want to say Zach Rogers is the one ripping with it right now. But, no, I mean, where a lot of the rage came from, it was like, oh, they can't build the car right out of the factory was some of it. And then it's like, yeah, it's just a bunch of haters. But then B, everybody's like, oh, stock's gotten out of hand. It's this, it's that, it's this. It's like, I mean, you have a point, but if I go on to Live RC on your local race program, you're running stock, so you should shut your goddamn mouth. To almost all those people talking.
I mean, I disagree with that.
Yeah,
I think you should have a thought-out point.
Yeah, it's just rage. It's just rage about stock racing and how ridiculous it's become. But it also comes up with innovation. Maybe not all innovations necessary or needed, but it comes out with different products, different things for people to try. I don't see anything wrong with it. You don't have to put an R1 3-gear transmission in your car, but that's the anger in that post. That's what it sounded like.
So, I think it's silly.
Yeah. Rick says Kyle might be able to answer that, but I think people have been saying they're turning the motors down a bit and gearing down. So they're turning down timing and gearing down. And that does make a lot of sense. And Cam says Tony Slutton's car looks absolutely fantastic too. You know, I agree. The toy box and the AstroTurf is a different scenario, but I do agree Tony's car looks really good. Couple more things before we finish off here. I'm not going to get into that one because it's beating a dead horse. You know what? DNC just another Grand River RC having to switch to foams only because of the carpet scenario. And, you know, it's beating a dead horse. We talk about it not. The past 2 or 3 episodes, we've talked about it enough. I just feel for those guys because they're going to go through a lot of... Huh?
You can bring it up. We don't have to talk about it.
I know.
You're talking about more. I was just curious as to what it was.
Yeah, they're going to go through a lot of hurt, and it's going to suck. So I'm going to bring up the Dirt Nitro Challenge. All weekend they were adding in people to that pro buggy class. Joey, do you know if Seth is going to this one? Mm-hmm. He is? Okay, I ain't know. See, last time I looked yesterday, they were at 580 entries. Now they're up to 685.
Are you on RC sign up, or where are you looking at this?
Live RC under the Dirt Nitro Challenge.
Let's go there.
And you got, I mean, this is as good as you get to having a Worlds without it being the Worlds. Okay, so yesterday there were 38 pros signed up. Now we're up to 44.
Which classes are we?
I'm just looking at Pro Nitro Buggy because that's the one everybody watches and cares about.
Okay.
I think...
Man. So many people.
Oh, there is. I want to say Juan Carlos Canas was signed up as well.
He is. He's number 9.
Yeah. I'm going to say... Juan Carlos Canas is going to win this one. And I'm going to say my dark horse for winning is going to be... God, it's so hard to have a dark horse at this race. My dark horse is always Brandon Rose. I can never give up on that guy. He's going to at least make the main. I don't know.
Who do you think, Joey?
Are we doing top three?
If we're doing top three, I'm going to add one more. Cam says Mayfield in the top two. I'm going to say no, I don't think so. I think his other prediction, Ryan Lutz, is going to come into that number three spot.
That was going to be one of my picks was Lutz. I've been kind of keeping an eye on him, and he's been...
Lutz and that Kyosho. Lutz and that Kyosho get along great, and I'm having fun watching it. I really am.
I mean, I think Mayfield would be up there in the top five.
Sure. If
not in there fighting for the lead.
I don't think he'll fight for a win in this one. But that's me. It's just... It's not. I think that this is going to be one of the hardest mains to make, and I think just making the mains an accomplishment. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I don't mean to step on your shit.
You're good. We'll do Lutz. Man, there's so many people here. I'm gonna put Fuller and Van Dalen up there too.
Okay.
Van Dalen's always good here.
Yes, he is. he TQ'd 1 year.
I'm gonna put my favorite to win is Dakota.
Okay. Yeah.
It's Dakota.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna say Mason, and I'm gonna say Juan Carlos for the top three.
Nice.
Nothing against Mayfield. It's just he's. Like, he's really good, and, like, there's, but it's, like, how much do you want it? I think these younger guys want it more, and now that Mason's got some more time on the car, I think it might push him out of there.
Yeah, that's true.
How do you think he's going to do with that pillow ball car?
But he's been doing good.
So he was just on the No Name RC podcast, Mason was, and... He does not fret between the pillow ball and the C-Hub. He goes, at first it was an issue, but he goes, right now I have it feeling exactly the same. He said that not just for him, but he said there's no difference between a pillow ball car and a C-Hub car. And I'm like, I love that attitude because he's not worried about it. You're not worried that, oh shit, I have a pillow ball car on a rough track. I'm not going to be doing my best. He's just going to go out there and do what he can. Let's see.
He's a killer.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people. How do you... This you could do a top 15 and still miss somebody.
Yeah, you absolutely could. Let's see. The only reason I input Fenn on my list is he's still a top five in everything, but he has not been the same since Horizon and Barry Baker, like, hey, had their little kerfuffle.
True, but he had a slump, but I think that something had to do with the radio too, I'm gonna say, because he's been doing really good the last several months
now. Yeah,
a slump for him's like he's not winning, he's just making the show
right
top five.
Right. I'd say Ron Afolk, Juan Carlos Canas, and Brandon Rose. I'll say this, there will be no X-rays in that A-main, and there will be no Mugens in that A-main. I'm sorry, Frankie Contreras Jr. I don't think this will be your year. I think next year will be. Drake is going, and he will not be in that A-main. There is no way.
What about the Killicks? Are they going?
I don't know if the Killicks... that's the thing. They're not done... Like I said, yesterday there was 100 less entries, and they only had 38 pros signed up. Now they have 44, and Van Dalen's not on that list, so I'm sure there's another dozen that aren't on that list yet.
There's so many good names. I mean, everyone in the pro class, really. I wouldn't be surprised if Spencer Heckert made the A-main.
Sure, absolutely.
He's been doing really good with the new Techno line.
Do we see a Sparko in there?
We got Cavalieri, and he's been doing really good.
Got Cavalieri and Pavitas hasn't been doing as great lately, but you never know with that kid. But you're right, Cavalieri, we ain't talk about Cav.
No, but he's on the back 40.
But he's just, such... If there was a... He's such a player. He's got three baby mama right now. Not literally. When I say baby mama, I mean car manufacturers.
Yeah, I wish he would do that work on the track that he's doing off the track.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about it too much because they did it to death on the No Name RC podcast, but how pissed is Schumacher right now because Cav is running an X-ray truggy? You know that's getting his foot in the door to X-ray for next year to take over that Ty Tessman and Gord Tessman position. I see him in a team management position like Brent Tilke.
I don't know. He would have to put in... And this is what I've seen. I haven't talked to Ryan, so this is speculation at best. Yeah. But I don't think he's put in the work when I've seen him at Hoosier. It's the only place I've seen him.
Yeah.
And... So I don't know, but he's been really competitive with the Schumacher cars.
Right. He put in, but it's not about competition. If he can get a bigger check from one place, I mean, that's the reason why he went with WRC, because he could get a check with them. He went
talking about this kind of reminds me of the Kesha song.
What?
All about money.
Yeah. Well, he's all about trying to do what he can so he doesn't have to get a real job.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I mean, yeah. I can't blame the guy, but no. I think next year, the way it worked, I don't think it's going to work the same. I think he could probably do Sparko and Schumacher again, but I think either of the two make a Bosch X-ray.
Well, the thing is, Sparko is coming out with the truggy really fast, but the way X-ray made it... See... we all know this, like people who have just buggies, people will run whatever truggy they want and they'll get help with it. They just won't announce them as a sponsor. Kind of like the way Mayfield was at the Worlds with the Team Associated cars. Mm-hmm. He didn't call Team Associated a sponsor, and Associated wasn't like, welcome back to the team, Mayfield.
No, it was mainly like a J-Con thing.
Yeah, it was. But this one, X-Ray, went out of their way to welcome Cavalieri to the team.
You think they're poking at the other brands?
Absolutely. That was 100% intentional. It's psychological warfare, and we need more of it. We need
you like the early or the late 90s RC.
Yeah.
Mafia style.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, it was so interesting. Like, we didn't know about driver chain. Well, there were forum boards, but nobody really knew until it's like, well, before the internet. Let's go before the internet. When Brian Kinwald left Team Associated after he had a signature car put out, it was like, oh my God, that blew up the world. And ever since then, was that 1994? Because it was right after the Worlds that he went to Losey. I've loved Silly Season. I should. It's such a small. It has nothing to do with me at all. But I love.
Same. It's fun.
It is fun.
I don't. I have. I live such a drama-free life.
Yeah.
Most times, I need like not a lot, but just a little bit of like drama in like the right way. It's fun.
Right.
And like, and if the people and the manufacturers didn't do it, then we wouldn't have this problem to begin with. So
right,
but it's also fun.
It is
to do this. So I don't mind. This is like the most drama I get.
Yeah. Chaz is wondering, are you racing 10 scale next winter? I am, and I'm racing 10 scale now. Cam goes, it was a good play for Cav. Absolutely. Andrig says, I don't see that happening, but anything's possible. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. I bet you Sparkle was a one-year deal. I bet you Cav had 1 year left at Schumacher. I want to say this is stars aligning with X-Ray.
Maybe. I mean, they do need somebody, but they have, like, I mean, they do need somebody.
That Sparkle car is looking good so far, though. I mean, everybody who runs it, it's like, hey, their career didn't go down the toilet. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Sparkle, where is T. Jones going?
I don't know. Entry list. If Jones is going, Jones is going to be in the B main, and he's going to bump to the A.
Oh, I didn't even look. Tyler just had a kid, so like he's got some other stuff going on.
Yeah, what race
was the kid born yet? I thought it wasn't due for a little while.
Oh, well, yeah. That could be incorrect. I haven't talked to Tyler recently.
Yeah. Let's see. Do we have any questions? We got a couple of questions. Kyle Holmberg just has a gif of people racing with vacuum cleaners. I was vacuuming pissed off Friday night, so I deserve it. Maria Goodpasser said, what type of tires for the border battle? And she's a novice, so anything she wants. Chris Barnes says, why aren't you race directing next season? I explained that earlier. It's just not it anymore for me. I mean, I
got other priorities.
Yeah, I might do the on-road races, and I am doing one MNRC event this year so far. I'm going to do the June event at Loose Nuts because Joe 3 is not going to want to do two weekend races in a row. And I'm like, yeah, I might as well announce. I don't care about points anymore. You know, yeah, it's cool to get a plaque and a trophy and all that. But, and the MNRC pays pretty well, too. So
I do it from bragging rights. So I've got a pile of trophies. If you want them, you just pay for shipping.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is going to sound bad, but, and Brian Bowman, I'm sorry if you're listening, but on the way home from the track at Thunder Road, cause they had the most trophy races and I won a lot of trophies there.
Oh no.
If it wasn't a number one trophy, on my way home from the track, when we stop at the gas station, I would throw it away with the empty pop cans. because I literally only have room for first place trophies now.
I love the cockiness.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just that I've been racing.
Everyone, trophies are a dime a dozen now. It doesn't mean as much.
No, it doesn't mean as much. But also, I've been racing for 36 years. Do you know how much hardware, good, bad, ugly, and different, you acquire over 36 years? I'm not keeping...
I can show you the pile of plaques that I have sitting over in my closet.
Oh, here. Yeah. And you've only been racing for a couple of years. Senior, when I moved out, I tried leaving my trophies there. Senior tossed them all. And then really? I've been... Oh, yeah. Except for a couple.
I threw away mine when I moved out, and now I've got a pile again.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a couple that are special, but most of them, like, I would keep... If I won King of the Road,
yeah.
I would keep that because that is a hard thing to
absolutely.
Do. Like, I drove really good this year, and I still didn't get it. Like, I did, well, somebody was better. Like, if Sam Isaac showed up, yeah, he'd get it. But Sam
wasn't. No.
But for me, just being an average guy, like, that would be something I hang on to. Or if, like, whatever I do with the Worlds, I'm going to hang on to that. Like, yeah. I'm not going to make the A-Main, probably not.
No.
Maybe. But probably not.
Yeah.
So whatever, I'll keep the shirt. And just be a cool experience, like something to remember it by. But
you don't
like
if I win a plaque at Silver State this year, I will keep that plaque. But from a monthly trophy race at a local track, I just can't. I don't have the room.
And people keep doing more and more like trophy events or something like that. Maybe this is a topic for another show, but I talked to a couple tracks about it, and they're like, well, the racers won it, and if we don't give them the plaques, then they don't show up. And I'm like, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of getting, I don't know if cheap is the right word, because they're still expensive.
Yeah.
But like, it's just a piece of foam board with a laminate on the front now.
You know what? And this is the way I've always thought that the quote-unquote trophy races should be. First place gets a trophy, and everybody in novice gets a trophy because it's important to novice.
What about me?
Well, you don't fucking matter, Joey. Cam's
won. You didn't get a trophy, you should have done that.
Yes. Cam is wondering, anything special to get a nitro engine going after not running for a couple of years? And Rick has the answer. Give it to Sean. Sean will clean it up for you. He'll take a look at you. Look at it.
He only says that because he wants to buy the truggy that I have sitting here for sale.
Yeah. Well, I got to send you some text, some information. Chaz says, Cam, sell it and buy a B7. Dude, that's another thing. I've had no time lately. I have that B7 that I won that is going to be my carpet car still sitting in the box. I have not even cracked the seal on it because I've just been race directing and working just constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need a little bit of time to get my race program back together. My four-wheel body would not stay on for, like, I was trying to get it the Velcro to stick, but it was so beat up that I've never done this before, and it's one of the most ghetto things I did, but at the last Toy Box race, I taped my body onto my car, onto the bottom of the chassis. So I have
that's better than coming off mid-race.
No. So I had to, so I also have to paint a body for that, you know, it doesn't take long. I run teal and white. It's not hard to paint, but it's something I need to do. Anyways, do any of you guys have anything else?
I don't have much besides it's 8-skill season's coming.
Yeah, 8-skill. Go ahead.
8-skill season wasn't a thing for December. It's been nonstop otherwise.
I did hear somebody was out at Rick's running the first week of December.
I could see it, absolutely. Zach, we've had, what do you say, Joey? 4 inches of snow?
A total.
From November to now, we've had 4 inches of snow. Tomorrow is going to be 64 degrees.
It's been a weirdly warm year.
Yeah.
We had probably 4 inches of rain last week.
Yeah.
In Louisville.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. Tomorrow, the wife and I are talking about taking the e-bikes to the brewery. Because, I mean, we've been dying to get on them, and it's going to be plenty warm tomorrow.
My dad bought a couple of e-bikes when he was in Daytona.
Dude, there's... Zach, and you have a baby, so get you and your wife e-bikes. You don't get expensive ones. The ones I got will go 28 miles an hour. They're made by a company called Lectric. Actually, mine goes faster, but that's something for another time.
His does 35 plus.
Yeah. So we bought ours for $1,000, but they're, you know, you can go 20 miles with them, but you can get a long range one that'll go 80 miles for $1,500. But dude, it's the most fun thing I do with the wife is we go out on the e-bikes. Our kids are grown, so we don't have to bring the kids, but you have that baby, so get a Burley for the back, that little trailer deal.
I don't want to do any of that.
Really?
No, that sounds terrible. We have regular bikes we haven't ridden in 3.5 years. Just in the garage.
I don't know how to explain it. I
like riding, and so does my wife. Yeah. We both like riding our regular bicycle.
We don't have
time to do it.
But I'm an adult male, Zach. Gender has nothing to do. I'm an adult.
I also see you're white, if we're just going to throw random things in here that don't matter.
I also see you're bald.
Right.
I can go out and buy a motorcycle tomorrow. I can go out and get a motorcycle tomorrow and have fun with it. But there's something about these e-bikes. And the wife put it perfectly. Do you remember that old insurance commercial with the piggy? With the pinwheels hanging out the car window, just going wee. That's what it feels like to ride an
e-bike. That little fan there.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it feels like to ride an e-bike. There's no other way to
feel the wind through your hair.
Oh yeah, yeah. All that peach fuzz on top.
But
so,
no, I'm good. I don't need another anything.
No, yeah, you don't. You don't. I suppose. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, I've got a whole car to build and figure out how to race asphalt. And do it competently. So
yeah, I suppose. Cam says he's bringing me pinwheels for that thing next time he sees me. Yeah. All right, guys. Good episode. Less technical difficulties this time. I got my sound issue figured out. And I actually recorded the whole episode. So after I upload this, I can actually go to bed, which is nice because I didn't get to go to bed until 11 o'clock after the last episode.
I watched the time change from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
Ish.
That's how late we got home from the hobby firm last night.
Yeah, I was up late for the UFC card. But anyway... So yeah,
I need my sleep, guys. So,
was that?
I need my sleep, so I'm good with ending this.
Yeah, I do too. All right, I'm Jozer Jr., and with me have been my co-hosts Zach Donathan and Joey Fitzsimmons, and we've ran out of talent. Have a great night, guys.
Later.
Hold on.